Blog Talk Radio.
Now in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice. Fair use. Successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest, Ken Elliott, is an artist and writer living in Castle Rock, Colorado. He's been on a dual track for over 25 years as an accomplished artist and as someone who has experienced and collected astonishing stories. His book, Manifesting 1-2-3 and You Don't Need Number 3, is not an ordinary manifesting or law of attraction book. You'll learn this in the interview for sure, and we're very excited about having him on the show. Carol, I understand that you assign Ken's book for students of your intentional filmmaking class as well.
Oh, I do, because it's a brilliant book, and we really thank you, Ken, for joining us.
It's my honor. Thank you for having me on.
Well, your book is very easy to read, and I find your examples of other people who use manifesting to really be encouraging. I teach a class called Intentional Filmmaking, and we study together to move a documentary and feature films forward on a monthly basis. And one of the things we do is we set our 6 months goal, because usually that's the term of the class. And then we, of course, we do an action list to go with the goals. So we really were hoping that we could start with some things from you, and particularly, how did you learn about manifesting? What happened in your life that took you to write the book?
Well, about 20 years ago, I had a personal issue. We all have, I don't know, a dozen or so. And I couldn't figure it out, so I called someone who was in the metaphysical field. I really didn't know much about this. But I'd read some books by this person, that person, and the person I called had contact with who I thought were legitimate people, you know, not that they got results, that they had a sensibility that matched mine. And I said, who is the most accurate psychic in the United States? She said, Judy Goodman. And I said, I don't know why I said this. Where does her information come from? And she said, it comes from the top. Is that good enough for you? And I was shaking. It was back when we had wall phones. So I hang up the phone on the wall, and I dial Judy's number, and she answered the phone, and we plugged in like we've known each other for centuries, which if you buy that sort of thing, we've been together since before dirt was invented. So I was supposed to meet her. She helped me get an understanding of that problem. And then I got a lot of things that I didn't sign up for. I started remembering old dreams, and I started to have a lot of paranormal experiences. I started going out of body. I started seeing this and that, or knowing things, and on and on and on. And Judy has a very big list of things she can do, some of which I knew. And someone called me, a stranger. She said, I hear you're talking to Judy a lot. Do you know who she is? And I said, well, yeah, she's a really good psychic. And the woman said, oh, no, 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 no. And she started telling me some of the stuff that Judy can do, like moving objects from 2,200 miles away and putting them in my paperback book that I'd put down for the night. an object that was big as a fork. I'd read this book for 25 minutes, woke up in the morning, and there's her metal bookmark that I know is hers from 2,400 miles away. That will get your attention.
Of course.
A dentist friend of mine who complained of something happened to his family. They wrote a book about it. Judy and I were involved. Judy was the lead dog on that. But he complained that the family saw all this phenomena in the house. He never did. And she bilocated in front of him. I had two friends who could do this. So these two women split themselves into four women and said, put your hand through the one of me you think is real. And he put his hand through the ghost. The dentist couldn't tell because there were four solid women in front of him. So I'm going to lead off with stuff you've never heard before, and we're not done yet. So don't go away, because you're going to get information that is not in the literature, that was given to me by the most gifted of the gifted, and I'm passing it on to you. I'm not the genius of this book, but after about 15 or 20 years of this, I finally caught on that, hey, maybe I need to write this up so you can have it. Because me and my friends, we have miracles in our life, and we don't have to work through systems. We get the shortcuts. We get the breaks. We're the luckiest ones, but we're manufacturing this stuff. We are not going to be in the wishing and hoping game at the end of this interview. You're going to learn how you build anything. Everything in your room was a thought first, and I'm going to show you how those thoughts form up. And this is manifesting 10.0.
Okay.
And it's so exquisitely simple, you just can't believe it. So I set the bar pretty high, huh?
You certainly did. Okay. Well, take us. We're all in your grasp right now. Let's go with it. What's next?
Okay.
What happened? We manifested everything in the room, you say. So everything I'm looking at, I manifested in some way or another.
No, not exactly. So a piece of paper was a tree. You didn't manifest that tree to paper, but you went out and bought it. So you had to manifest a car and the money and the wherewithal to go to the store and get the thing. But that paper was a tree first. Tens of thousands of man hours went in that tree, getting cut down, going into a logging truck, getting under a contract, being bonded by an insurance company, being underwritten by a bank, and then it gets to the it's endless to make a piece of paper. Zillions of man hours. Make a piece of paper. So here's how thought works. So this woman, this stranger who called me, who asked me who Judy was, she told me all these things that Judy could do. And the one thing she said was, and I understand the ESP, and yes, she can see the other side, and yes, she goes out of body. I know those things. But she told me something I didn't know. She said, if you send Judy something in thought, she will get it every time. I said, what do you mean? She said, Judy had a birthday last year, so I sent her a bouquet of flowers. I imagined sending her flowers. I imagined that Judy would have the flowers in her room, in her hotel room. She was out of the city. So Judy came home that night. She got a call from my friend. My friend said, did you get the thing that I sent? Judy said, yes, you sent me a bouquet of flowers. And she described it in great detail. It was a thought, but Judy sensed it enough, she could see that thought on the other side. Okay.
Incredible. Yes.
Incredible. Yeah. Okay, so she's psychic. But guess what? Judy didn't know what was sent. She didn't have to be psychic. Judy walked into the hotel room, and there were the flowers. She didn't have to intuit that maybe somebody sent me some pretty flowers. She could see them in spirit on the other side, in the same way that people see the deceased or, whatever, on the other side. She sees it clearly. Well, that rocked my world. In fact, it didn't rock my world. I thought it was bullshit. We can say bullshit, can't we? So I thought it was just, right. But as it turns out, Judy had a birthday coming up the next day. So I called Judy up, and I said, I just talked with your friend, and she told me this crazy thing that I can send you something in thought. You'll get it. She said, that's right. And I went, tomorrow's your birthday. I want to do something. I want to send you something. She said, okay. What are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to think about it really, really hard and try to send it to you. Don't say try. I'm going to send it to you. And she said, all right. Let me help you with that. You're going to think of the thing. Don't make a big deal out of it. You don't have to be a creative. You don't have to have a picture of it. Imagine what it is. Take a few seconds and let it go. And by the way, Ken, since it's a gift, you're going to think of it in your head. And it's going to drop down into your heart and go out through your heart because it's a gift you're sending me. She says, I'll get it every time. Remember the thing about the heart, because I didn't remember the thing about the heart. So the next morning, I got up. I'm a little late for work, and I thought, well, what am I going to do? Something quick. Okay, I'm going to send her a yellow rose and a simple, unembellished silver vase. The whole assembly is 10 inches tall. And, okay, I yelled a rose, and I let it go, and I went to work. And I got in the car, and I started to cram on that thing because I'm going to make this happen. Yellow rose in the base, and I got to work, and I was worthless all the way through lunch because I'm just thinking about cramming and jamming that yellow rose in that base. And I drove back, and I sat quietly, and I crammed and jammed that thing some more, and then I called Judy. I said, okay, did you get the thing I said? She said, well, I'm in my office, and I can see clearly that a lot of people on the other side, we'll call them so-called dead people, they like to say in Hollywood, they have all sent me gifts. The room is full of gifts from the people on the other side. And there are people here in the physical world, they know it's my birthday too, and they have also sent me things in thought. And the room is filled up with those too. She said, Ken, yours is sitting right here in front because we go way back. Well, that sounded a little sentimental. I didn't care about that. What did you get? And she said, was it your intention to send me a yellow rose? Well, that was a Hollywood moment. And I got a big lump in my throat. It was hard to talk. Even now, I still feel a little twinge of that. And I said, yeah. She said, was it your intention to send me a yellow rose? And I said, yes, that's exactly what I said. She said, well, that's not what I got. And I'm like, what? We've done all of this. It's not what you – what do you mean? She said, look, somebody saw your intention and embellished it and sent it on its way. I said, I don't understand this. What do you mean? We had talked about this, and thought is instantaneous over there. There's no speed of light. It's just instantaneous. Some people like to call it quantum. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. We don't even understand that fully yet. But that's the way it is. She said, some big guy saw your intention, held it, embellished it, and sent it on its way. And I said, I really don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean, big guy? She said, JC. I said, Jesus, big guy? She said, yeah. Listen, this is not going to be the Holy Roller Show. It is what it is. And I had sort of a double hit on that thing. A lot of people would be very excited that JC, sent them a birthday card or something. But there was another part of me that was thinking, oh, my God, Santa Claus really does see what you do all year long? I thought I'd been flying under the radar on this stuff. But here he is. And I said, I don't understand what he has to do with what you're seeing. She said, he has changed this. He took that rose and dipped it in gold. And it's all aglow. She said, I know it's a rose, but I had to play 1-900 psychic. I had to guess that there's a yellow rose that's been dipped in gold. And from time to time, I would send Judy more things. She got them every time. And, oh, some percentage, 20% of the time, it might be embellished by some big guy. And by the way, he is such a great gift giver, it would break your heart, sweet. It would bring me to tears. In fact, I stopped doing it because it would get embellished, and I'm getting a little choked up about it now. It would break your heart, sweet, in ways you never expected. It was amazing. And I'm not that religious guy. I'm not that running around, you can't be saved without this and that. You know, it just was what it was. And it wasn't a mystery. It just happened sometimes, and sometimes it didn't. But whatever I said, Judy, something, she got it every time.
So, and let's go back. This was head to heart and then send it. That's what she
said. No, I didn't. No, I'm from Texas. I didn't do that heart stuff. Are you kidding me? I just bludgeoned it. We just go out and shoot it and eat it, man. What's that heart stuff? No. You're crazy about that. No. I didn't do any of that stuff. I just took a hammer to it, you know? I had no finesse at all. So, but we are going to use that later, but I had no finesse. Let me make this clear. I was a guy who had no skills. I didn't believe this stuff. I didn't really want to believe this stuff, but it was so intriguing that I could call up the psychic lady and play post office with her that I kept doing it. I had no special skills, and not the brightest bulb in my neighborhood, frankly, but I was getting these 100% successes.
So
and Judy went intuitive when I got.
That anybody can do this then, Ken. That anybody
I'm standing on my head to tell you that. I'm standing on my head to tell you that. you know, 3-year-olds are really good at manifesting their Christmas lists. Now, they have an unfair advantage because that's what we're supposed to do socially, but darn if they don't get a lot of their Christmas lists. They'll let you know. They'll pray about it. They'll draw pictures of it. They'll point it out on the TV set. They will not shut up about this stuff, and they get a result. I'm not saying that that's empirical proof, but that's what I do. I am not good at this. I'm the guy that wrote the book. I'm the bad example on how to do this, but I get spectacular results. And it doesn't matter, and you're going to hear me say this over and over, get the tattoo now. It doesn't matter how it happens. When you start to do this, something is going to, you're going to get a result. So after a year or so of doing this, Mr. Genius here had an idea, and I called Judy up. I said, I've got an idea. She said, just one? I said, well, yeah, but it's a very important one. She said, what? I said, do you have a chair in front of you right now? Do you have a little time? She said, yeah. She said, I said, I've got a fabulous idea. You stay on the phone, and I'm going to send you something in thought in real time. And you stay on the phone with me, and we're going to talk about this thing as it happens because I want to know how this works. And she said, okay, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to think about it really hard until you get it. She said, well, go for it, bucko. Bucko? Did you ever call me bucko? Bucko? You know, what she didn't say was, wow, it took you all year to get to step number two. God, you know, so anyway, so here we go. Yeah, it reminds me of that thing in the Matrix where he goes to see the Oracle, and she looks at him and says, yeah, kind of good looking, but not very smart, not very bright. So it was one of those moments. All right, so I'm 2,400 miles away. I'm in San Francisco. She's in Columbus, Georgia. And I don't know how this stuff works. I don't know what's in the field. I don't know if the kids are playing outside, if it'll interfere with what I'm trying to send Judy. I don't know what's in the broadband stream. And I'm an artist, so I have to do this kind of wacky doodle thing. You know, I've got to make it different. And I need a proof that whatever I send her is so unusual, she can't intuit all the pieces. And she just can't guess at this thing. So I'm thinking about it, and I immediately get this hit. And I don't tell Judy, but I'm going to send her a 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck and sit him in that chair, and he's got a little skinny stick that goes up over his head. At the top of that, horizontally, is a flat little board, and it says on the front of it, written in red lipstick, it says love on it. So I got a 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck with a little handmade wooden sign with a red lipstick saying love, and I start in on this thing. And I'm just going to bludgeon it. I get my hammer, and I start banging with this thing. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm cramming and jamming this thing. I don't know how to do this stuff. I don't meditate. I don't, you know, I can't hold the baby and make eggs. I'm just, you know, I don't have that kind of skill set. And I'm just working my fanny off on this thing. And it's hard. It's hard when you bludgeon this stuff. And so after 2 minutes, I'm just all used up. And she's right there on the phone. I said, okay, what did you get? Now, I'm going to put that off to the side for a moment. Now, in that time, I had met William Buhlman. He's the foremost author of out-of-body experiences. We became one of my best guy pals. I did his website. I did his website up until about a year ago. And I was privy to the 10,000 letters that came in from all over the world about people having out-of-body experiences. So William and I talked within the literature, and I knew a lot of things that were not written about. They were outside the literature. So I know a whole lot about out-of-body, and I get the other side enough myself to, you know, be able to walk around and get it. It's real. Now, something that William told me that I'd never really thought very hard about, he was a list maker. Now, guys don't make lists. They're just good about throwing the clothes on the floor, but William was a world-class list maker, and why was that? Because when William went to the other side, going down a body, he could see the things of his list taking form. In other words, the China trip, he could see even a concept like that. He could see it start to form up the other side, and it would look like the China trip. He could see the red car. He could see this. He could see that, like they're arrayed on a shelf, although they're not on a shelf. He could see his thoughts from first thought look like a vapor. And as he laid more and more intention on it, be it a vision board, being saying it out loud, be making a wish list, anytime he touched that, in whatever form, a thought or a physical list or whatever, he could go to the other side and it would take on more form. It would go from a vapor to something that got more 3D. It started to look like a car. And if he stayed with it, it would get more and more solid and more color. Now it's a very solid red car. And then later on, it would get so super solid, it would look solid physical over there. And guess what? It's going to come over into the physical world. And we would make these lists up, and he would tell me what they are. And I would say, wow, more power to you, buddy. But they all happened. And he went into a second list. He told me that. And when I talked about the China trip, he didn't want to go to China. He wanted to live in China. And his wife got transferred from General Motors. He ended up living in China for 4 years. He had China until he threw up with China. But he got China. He was not a visitor. He was living on the ground there for 4 years because he put it on his list. So I know about this smoke stuff. And why didn't I do something with that? My best friend in the world was tearing up the universe for this stuff, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I didn't think that I was worthy. I wasn't an author. I wasn't special. It was just something I knew. That you think of a thing, it starts as vapor, it gets more and more solid, more and more 3D, more and more color, and it comes over in your world. This is fundamental to everything in your existence. Unless you go look at a natural field, a prairie of grass, that happens on its own. But everything in your house was a vapor first. It was a thought first on the other side. And then it became real because somebody or a group of people put the hours in and they stayed with it and you got a piece of paper. Your fountain pen was 10,000 feet below the ground as gooey oil. Everything in your life is thought first. And if you don't know where you're going, you're going to see other people's intentions. So we're going to go forward on that. So this is the number one of the 1, 2, 3. So I'm going to go back to Judy. Now, I know about this smoke.
Let me just get back to here and give me the procedures on this, because you said he had a list. So first he made a list of what he wanted to achieve. And then obviously he took it to bed with him at night when he went to sleep. He read the list before he went to bed.
No, he didn't do that. He just had a list on the table or in his desk drawer or something. But he would do things to that list. He would take it out and read it. He would say it out loud. He might burn a candle on it. He might take it in an envelope and mail it back to himself. If he were smart, he would drive a long distance to put it in a post office far, far away. See, what he's trying to do is just layer it and layer it and layer it with more and more intentions. The more he touches that thing in any form, the more it forms up on the other side. It's that simple.
Okay.
It's silly simple. It is our birthright. If you believe in God or not, I don't know how this stuff works. I've seen what I've seen over there, and I've been in a place where there was nothing. And I know that if I have a thought, it's going to act on some kind of particles in the field that I can't see, and it'll make a goat or it'll make a galaxy. And if I think the thing, it will happen.
Okay.
And I'm over there trying to think about, I want a new gravity or new black and white or new up and down. I'm not that right. So I'm back to Judy.
Okay.
And so I asked Judy, so what did you get? I'm doing the Daffy Duck thing. What did you get? Now, Judy's a very nice person, but she got in my face. She has never done this before. And I couldn't believe the barrage of words coming at me. I didn't get a chance to think. And she said, are you trying to send me something? I said, well, yeah, I'm working really hard on it. She said, well, when you get a wimpy thought, you get a wimpy result. You're just making smoke here, man. You need to get on this. You're wasting my time. You've got to jump on this thing and make this happen, okay? Well, damn. I'm a failure. I'm wasting her time. Well, I thought we were good friends, and now she's turned on me, and I've been doing this for a year, and suddenly she's not so happy with this game. Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. I don't want to fail. And she said the thing about the smoke. I know all about the smoke. There was nothing in that chair, and now I'm making smoke. Are you kidding me? it's starting to happen. But she intimidated me. I never thought about the damn smoke. And I tripled down, and I did another 4 minutes. I didn't think I had it in me. And I am cramming and jamming that Daffy Duck like I'm going to die if I don't get this right. And after 4 more minutes, 6 minutes total, I said, I don't know what else to do. I didn't use the heart. Forget that. I'm just bludgeoning this Daffy Duck into existence by sheer will. And I'm not highly trained in the sheer will department either. So I said, okay, I don't know what else to do. What have you got? I'll never forget. She said, are you trying to send me a cartoon character? I said, yeah, yeah. She said, well, there's some poor little human-y thing in the chair, 2.5 feet tall, not 5 feet. He's got little skinny arms, little skinny legs. He's got cartoon colors on him, so I figure he's a cartoon character, and he's got a stick in his hand. 6 minutes. And that Daffy Duck is starting to form up. You know, I don't know what it is. It's very important I get this out on your show because I'm choking myself up. I'm not that, but I'm getting really choked up about this because somebody's getting this, and they're going to run big time with this. Ooh, wow. Okay, so I'm flipped out because she can't get this. It's too complicated. It's a very complex thing, and it's happening 6 minutes. What's going to happen here? If I keep doing this Daffy Duck thing, and if Judy allows this just back and forth, she can block that stuff, but she allows it. If I stay on this Daffy Duck every day, she can go to the grocery store, and some little girl's going to go up and put a Daffy Duck sticker right on her leg in the produce section. She's going to get that Daffy Duck. Or ding-dong, here comes a box, and it's filled with all this sort of hocus-pocus stuff, and somewhere in the box there's a little Daffy Duck thing. She's going to get the Daffy Duck. Now, so I still continue to play this, and yes, a big guy would come in every once in a while and want, you know, just kind of, you know, bring me to tears or something. But I kept doing this and kept doing this, and it was just a game for me. And then somebody said, Ken, you talk about these stories. There's this movie out. It's called The Secret. Let's watch this. I got the DVD. We sat down, and I don't know, 6, 8 people in there, and they're all talking about how to manifest. And I watched that movie and said, I know this stuff. I've done this stuff, but I know what they don't know. I know how this happens. I know that when you flick the light switch, I know how electricity is generated. I know what they don't know. And big surprise to me, oh, my God, I can turn this on myself and make my life better. What was I been thinking? I've just been a three-roll with this. You mean I can make a better income? I can be happier? Oh, my God. And so I started doing some of the stuff in The Secret. But you know what? I was tripping up on some of that stuff.
What does that mean?
Let me just say this. Well, I want to say this right now. I'm all about people asking for things. If you're not worried, if you're not worthy, call me. I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to shake my finger at you. You're worthy. There's some very bad people in the world, and they make things happen for them. And we could say they're not so worthy, but they make things happen. You are worthy.
Right.
It's your birthright. It's your birthright. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. We'll slap them silly. I'll do it for you. You are worthy. It's your birthright. This thing about thought, any two-year-old can make have a thought and start making it from smoke. You know, if you're 14 years old and you want to manifest a Maserati, knock yourself out. It may be put on the shelf for you, or you'll get the model car, or you get to see the Maserati movie, but you're driving around as a 14-year-old a Maserati with your own driver's license. Maybe not. But you stay on it. You're going to get that Maserati in some form. Okay?
Right.
Even if it's a sticker on your leg. So, all right. So I'm now learning that I can do this for myself. But when I saw The Secret, and I'm all for people asking, I don't care if you pray, vision board, jump up and down, get the tattoo, ask, 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 because you're having a result on the other side, even if you can't see it. And when I'm starting to manifest something in the way we're going to talk about, it doesn't matter if I believe it or not. When I turn on the light switch, I get light. It doesn't matter if I understand photons going through the copper wires or how electricity is generated. if I take a bottle of water and hold it out over the table and let it go, it falls to the ground every time because that's what the law of gravity does. And the law of gravity is not dependent on your belief in what gravity does. Water rolls downhill, and it doesn't matter if you're having a bad day or a good day or if you're a good person or a bad person, water runs downhill, and it doesn't matter what you think. Thought is real. When you think of a thing, it starts to make a vapor over there, and it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. And your worries are thoughts, too. We're going to get to that.
Okay,
so we can. I'm a Daffy Duck making son of a gun. I can make all the smoke. I can fill a room with smoke. You may not see it, but I'm making stuff, and I make stuff all the time. So in The Secret, and in a lot of the books about manifesting, and I encourage you to read all of them you want. If it just makes you ask, I'm on your team. But what I noticed with a lot of this, since they don't know at the core how thought works, they don't know how electricity is generated, we'll use that analogy. All these things are where people get together and we try to figure out best practices. We'll have a glass of wine and we try to figure out, well, you know, if you're more of a Pollyanna about this, if you watch your negative statements, you'll get a better result. Yeah, true. If you have faith, you'll get a better result. Well, I get like a 64 in faith. I'm not so good on faith, but I get a good result anyway. I don't want to name this thing in a way that you're going to trip on it. So what I call my manifesting is the movie. It's not a meditation. It's not an act of faith. It's not an act of belief. It's not an act of knowing. Because you can't get an A++ in any of those things. It's rare. But I'm going to call this the movie. We're going to do what I call the movie. You know, when I went and saw Batman 5, I didn't sit there and go, oh, well, I can't. Nah, you can't do that. Or at least a 12-year-old doesn't. A 3-year-old doesn't. A kid will watch Superman fly around and do all this crazy stuff, and he doesn't have the intellectual capacity to say that can't happen. He just lets the movie flow all over him. He doesn't flunk watching the movie, and neither do we. And we watch the movie, okay. So here's the number one. Now that we know that your thoughts will make something on the other side, and I have friends who can see it forming, and by the way, my two friends, more than two friends, my friends who can see this for me, they would be stupid if they didn't do this because they could see a thing, go to the other side, and watch it form up. It was more solid than it was a week ago. They would be nuts not to do this.
Yes.
They'd be insane not to do this. Insane. Okay. So here's the deal. This is what you call the movie. Number one, and there's a genius here. In this. It's not my genius, but it's very, very important. It's been out there. And a guy, Mike Dooley, is a guy that promotes this. I push it harder than most. If thoughts are real, let's do the most precise, concise thing we can possibly do with this great power, and it is the power to make anything. In fact, it makes everything there is. Everything was thought first, if you made it or not. So let's be smart. In its simplest form, close your eyes, have a seat, close your eyes, and imagine that you're in your future. Your thoughts can make the future. That's the shortest distance between two points, from here to the future. When I told William Buhlman this, who'd been going out of body for 25 years, and I said, I'm about to write this book. I'm going to give you this thing about the future. He slammed the table. He said, oh, my God, of course. I don't have to do this waiting and building. I can create my future in full. I don't have to say this has to happen, this has to happen. No, I just create the future. I'm in China. I don't have to do all the stops to get to China. I'm in my future. I'm in China. So in my future, I sit down, I close my eyes, and I say, I'm in my future. And in my future, I'm in my perfect house. I don't see the house. If I specify all the things in the house, then they have to be formed up. The quickest distance between me and my future is just say I'm in my perfect house. Let's put it to your audience. I'm in my future. I'm sitting on my couch in the future. It's at the end of the day. And I realize that I got, not only did I get this movie funded, that movie is in the can, and it's a big success. I can't believe I'm in my future, and I'm saying to myself on my couch, having my glass of wine at the end of the day, la-di-da, I can't believe how this movie got made. I'm just so amazed. Remember the heart thing? Here we go. Now we're going to hit the switch. Now we're going to plug this thing into the 220 socket. Now, I went to the shortest distance between me and this film. I didn't say I have to get this, that I have to get a wardrobe, that I have to get the money. Nope. The film was already made. It is a success. It has already happened. And I may be done with the film. I'm in my couch at the end of the day, and I am observing that all of this was done. I don't even know what it was, but it happened, and it was successful. Now I'm going to plug this thing in to one of the two powerful engines in the universe. One is love, and one is fear. One is positive, one is negative. Those fundamental things in the universe. And I'm going to say I'm so grateful. I can't believe this movie was put together. I'm here in my future, and my God, I'm just thrilled at how this came out. I'm almost in tears about it. I'm so grateful. And what you're doing is you have created the finished product in the future, and you have charged it with one of the most powerful things you can put on it, a positive charge, love. Your worry charges up in a negative way. That's going to be next. So in my future, I'm smart about this. In my future, my number one priority is I have perfect health. I'm so grateful. I don't have to see an absence of hospitals. I'm on the couch at the end of the day. I observe that. I'm in my future, and my perfect partner sits down next to me and pushes down the sofa cushion. I pat her on the leg. Do not look at your perfect partner, because there's 3.5 billion men or women on the planet. You don't want to limit the possibilities. Pat him on the leg. You're so grateful. Move on to the next scene. The next scene. They all take place in your future. It's kind of like this. I'm in Denver. We're all going to get on a bus and go to Chicago. Oh, my God. It takes a day and a half for the Denver bus to get to Chicago because it makes 70 stops. All right? So you want to get that movie done? Do not get on the bus and do the equivalent of, well, we have to stop here and here and here and here and here. We have to get a writer. We have to get the script. We have to do this. We have to do this. We have to do this. We have to get the money. We have to Don't say that we have to do these 1,456 things before your movie's funded. Nope. You get in the bus, and suddenly, oh, my God, you look at your ticket. You're standing in Chicago. You don't know how you got to Chicago, but you're in Chicago, and you're so grateful. This is how I got the perfect house. This is how I turbocharged my career as a painter in ways that were that were ridiculous for me to ask for. And it's not even stopping. It's still going to places. I'm still behind. I can't believe what had been happening for me and my friends. I had a business guy that came in here. He's a big muckety muck. The last company he worked for made him an extra $150 million on top. He's a big guy. He called me and said, I need to talk with you. And I said, oh, my God, what have I done? I've ruined his life, you know. And he sat down, and he started to tell me that suddenly he's getting his business deals. Now, if you give him a good idea, great idea, he can get funding for it, but he's not a film guy. He was in tears a couple of times. He said, I've only cried 10 times in my life. He cried twice on the couch with me because the quality of the staggered him. And he's been doing this manifesting thing in the closet for about 6 or 8 months. And he has never in his career seen it coming in like this. He said, you're going to make me money on one of these deals or all five of these deals. I don't know what. So he threw a bone my way that is so far out of the box. I'm not even going to discuss it here on the radio. But if it happens, it's a very cool thing. It's more than a 15 minutes of fame because I added something to my movie that I'm very well known as a painter. Well, yeah, this would do that. Maybe not forever, but, yeah, it would make quite a ripple. So, whatever. So back to in your movie, you simply imagine you're in your future. It has, let me underline this, it has already happened.
It has already happened.
It's already happened. So do not say, I'm in my future and I'm getting this job. No. In your future, you already have, and let's go from job to career. You're in your future and you have your perfect career and you're so grateful. You don't know how it happened. You just love getting up in the morning and going to your perfect career. You don't see an office. You don't see a desk. You don't see a computer. You don't know what it is, but you like it. One of the big things, the two big things in my movie is, number one, I have perfect health. I'm so grateful. Okay. Number two, I'm doing what I'm here to do. I don't know what it is, but when the phone rings, I'm on it. I'm doing it right here on the radio. This is what I'm here to do. I'm an artist, but that's my cover story. That's what I tell the straights at the parties. But this is what I do. I spread this stuff out. And I'm so grateful to do what I'm here to do. Everything else in my movie goes in the box of living comfortably. Money's taken care of, house, car, partner, friends, getting around. You know, it's all that stuff. Ask a Buddhist what they want. Certain sex, they'll say happiness. That covers it, happiness. But I'm an American, so I have to go touch. I have to do all this stuff. All right. So another example is you want that perfect career. I didn't say job. I don't want you to go in your movie and say, okay, well, I had to lose 12 pounds. I had to get a new wardrobe. I had to get my hair dyed. I had to do this. I had to do that. Nope, nope, nope. In your movie, you love your perfect career. You observe it at the end of the day from your couch. You do not even know what it is. Now, I do this movie every day, once a day. If I tell you to do it 5 times a day, you'll do it 50 times. Once a day is all you need. You're going to fall asleep. Your mind's going to wander. You're still going to do it better than I do, because I do all that. If a pink elephant comes into my movie, I don't care about pink elephants. I'll let them go in one door and out the other, because I don't get up every day to make pink elephants. I'm not forming up pink elephants. I don't touch it enough to make pink elephants. So that's the number one. It has already happened, and you're so grateful. You're going to forget some scenes. It's okay. Go back. Touch it later. You can do this in the car. You don't have to be sitting in a looking like you're in a meditation. You'll find a way to do it, but touch it every day. I'm going to push a little faster now because we're running out of time, but I want to get that number one down. So number two, you have it. Yeah. Want me to keep going?
Please. I'm ready for number two.
Questions? Okay.
Dealing with fear is what I want to cover.
What is that? Fear? Here we go.
Yeah.
We're wired to worry. We can't help it. We're wired to worry. And if you're not worrying, you're stupid. Because you're just not paying attention. You're not taking care of business if you don't worry. And worries are thoughts, and they form up on the other side. They start like a vapor, and your worst nightmare, you are building it. See, when we're talking about thought now, we are no longer in the hoping and waiting and wishing game. When you have a thought, it starts to form. Now you have the tools to make it happen. You just stay with it. And by the way, once you start a thought, that thought is core. The law of attraction is a side effect to the alpha thought. The law of attraction is a side effect of your core thought. If you didn't have a thought, there's nothing for the law of attraction to go attract to. Follow me? So
yes.
Your core thought is it. Law of attraction is a side effect. Fine. So now that you say, I'm in my future and I have my perfect career, you need to get out more. You need to say yes more, because it can't all come in on the phone or by UPS. Somebody calls you, you accept. Somebody says, hey, would you meet something? You say yes. You get out there, because now you're a target. You have made yourself a target for your perfect career, so move around. Get out there.
Yes.
Watch for those invitations. All right, so number two is fear. We can't afford to create bad things in our lives. I can't afford to be sick. I can't afford to stop the income stream. I don't want to be unhappy. So if I have a thought, I've got to do something. I'm building a bad thing. I'll call it a bad thing. I'll call it a thing I don't want. I do not want this fear. Now, when you're fearing something, you can feel it under your skin. What does that mean? You've emotionally loaded it with fear. And it's very powerful. That's the other 220 system out there. You can make anything with this stuff, and you're going to magnify that thought because you fear it so. Now, I didn't have a book until this was given to me. This is not in the literature either, so this is worth writing down. This was a gift. I got my perfect house, and I had a mortgage and expenses running up like I have never had in my life. What was I thinking when I got that 30-year fixed loan that I had no business getting? I don't know how I got that loan, but I got the house. And I'm facing bills like I've never seen before. And I have to hit a grand slam art sale every month for 12 years, for 30 years. Am I insane? And you better believe I started to worry. My heart was pounding. I never worried about money before, but this was killing me. I had another friend doing the same thing. She said, you've got to do something about this. And I didn't have anything to do about this. All the stuff that I'd read was, well, try to diminish that worry. Whistle a happy tune. Go get drunk if you like. I mean, that wasn't in the literature, but you know what I mean. Don't worry about it, bottom line. Try not to worry about it. Well, we're wired to worry about the things that scare us. So I was given this. At the end of the day, I just sat quietly. I didn't know what else to do. I tried all day to come up with a solution, and it came in by itself. It was like I got a packet of information, and I'll give it to you straight the way I got it. Convert those worries to action items. And I'm thinking to myself, where did that come from? What does that mean? Put it on your calendar. Offload it emotionally. And then, like, yeah. You know, somebody hung up the phone. I mean, I didn't hear it in my voice, but I had this info, and I sat with it for a while, and I got it. It was exquisitely simple. All right, so I've got this pain in my elbow. Well, I'm a guy. I'm just going to let it go until my arm falls off, right? That's what we do. Well, so it's 3 o'clock in the morning. That arm really hurts, and I'm worried about it. I can create something very serious at that spot in my body because I'm attuned to it, I fear it, and I can make it build and put it right there on my elbow. It's probably nothing, but I can turn it into a cancer. I can turn it into something I don't want. So here's what I'm going to do. That's emotionally loaded. It's 3 a.m. What can I do at 3 a.m. in the morning with this thing? And it goes for money. It goes for all kinds of things. I'm going to make a note in the morning, or I'll pull over and get my smartphone, and I'm going to put onto the calendar, I'm going to take action on this worry, and on the calendar, I'm going to put down at 9 a.m. tomorrow, I'm going to make an appointment with the doctor. Now, I'm going to let that go as best I can. It took me a month to 6 weeks to do this where my worries just became concerns. I put the doctor's appointment on my calendar. I've offloaded this thing emotionally. It's on my calendar. My phone doesn't care if I put the end of the world at Tuesday, 10 a.m. on my phone. It doesn't care. So it doesn't care about the doctor's appointment. It doesn't care about the end of the world. It's on the calendar, and it's not heart thumping under my skin anymore. So I get up in the morning, and ping, there's the thing. Oh, yeah, go get some milk and bread. Ping, here's the thing here. Get ready for the song. Ping, oh, shoot, call the doctor. All right, if that's still under my skin, if I still feel that, I'm going to call the doctor at 9 a.m. If I'm okay with this concept now and I'm too busy, I'll push it off a day. I'll push it down. You know, as long as it's not eating me up, I'm not making that vapor over there. I've handled the worry. It's now just a concern. Okay, but if it's bothering me, I'm going to call. If I need money, I'm going to put it on my calendar to call people that owe me money. I'm going to put it on the calendar to go downstairs and start a 5-foot painting. Can I sell the painting in 4 days before I need the money? No, but I'm going to take action on the lack of money. It always comes through.
Yeah,
it has always come through.
I love the idea of getting it out of your head and onto paper. I find that when I have worries in the middle of the night or thoughts come to me that things I've forgotten and should have done, I get up and write it down. So, and I have it in my bathroom in the morning when I get up. My notes are there, and those are the first actions I take. But it's something the brain stops chattering about it when you write it down. It's as if, okay, I've handled that.
It's helpful. It's helpful. As long as you can diminish the emotional charge, then it's not going to form up.
Good.
It just is what it is. But if you're emotionally charging that thing, it's going to form up. Now, you can bludgeon it to death, you know, meaning that, okay, it's not emotionally charged, but you think about it 20 times a day. It doesn't get under your skin, but you think about it 20 times a day. It's forming up over there. But it's more efficient when you emotionally charge it, positive or negative. It'll get there quicker. So that's the number two. You're going to offload that worry, put it on your calendar. You get up, so in my life, I get up in the morning, I do my movie, and then I run the calendar. And every once in a while, the calendar is one of those, uh-oh, you know, it's one of those things I've been worrying about. I got to take action on it. That's the deal. That's the deal.
That's
anybody
beautiful.
Can do this. It's so simple. And here's the number three, need number three, and I'll do this quickly. I observed that when I was in my movie, I was creating miracles. Me and the Pope have seen a lot of miracles, I'm telling you. And it's like, I ascribe to this, doesn't matter if you do or not, but if you could be your higher self, and some of us have seen this, you can move mountains. You can make miracles instantly. Turn water into wine if you like, whatever. You can be Spielberg, you know, whatever. If you could be your higher self, you can do impossible things. But I don't know how to access that. So it's kind of like this. I don't want you to think that you have to be your higher self to do this. Nope, I go into my movie like a three-year-old, and I don't intellectualize this. And frankly, when I get out of my movie, I kind of chuckle sometimes and say, yeah, right. Yeah, I can't wait for that one to happen. I have a laugh. But it happens. I know it's forming up. It's going to come in some form. Sometimes sooner, sometimes later. So it's kind of like I'm the gatekeeper for your movie theater. And I see you. You're wearing all white. Nice. You've been drinking distilled water, fasting 40 days, 40 days. Very nice, very nice. You're about to go in because you must be your higher self. You're fully endowed to go in that movie theater and create anything in seconds. And one more question. Any impure thoughts? You're not pure. You know? But it's like I go around to the side door of my movie theater. I sit down, and I can run my movie every time because I intellectualize it. And all I do is when I'm in my movie, if I have a vacation scene, I'll go to that balcony off the hotel room. I'll hold that balcony. I'll look out. Now, in my movie, I don't see where I am. Otherwise, I go to Paris every time. But I hold that balcony. I can hear the birds, or I can hear the traffic, or I can smell the cappuccino. I use my senses to make that more real. But I don't always specify what I see because that might limit the thing. Like this perfect partner, I don't see her. But I can touch her. Maybe I can hear her laughter. You know, maybe we're cooking together, but I don't see your face. So that is the 1, 2, 3. And with the number three, you don't need to be your higher self, but you have never been so powerful. And I'll leave you with this. If your life's not going very well, and I heard this from Andy Dooley. Mike and Andy Dooley do a lot with manifesting, and I bow to them. They do a great job. And Andy said this one time. He said, if your life's not going well, if it's crap, it's just not handling it, you can't handle it, it's just bad news, bad news, bad news, guess what? It's your fault.
Oh, my
goodness. It's your fault. Because you have the tools to change it. And I'll give you one more analogy. We're all going to get in my car, and we're going to drive downtown. We're going to get in the interstate. We're up to 70 miles an hour, and we know where we're going. We all agree we're going to the museum. And for whatever crazy reason, I just take my hands off the wheel because I don't care if I go to the museum. I'm just not in the mood. I don't want to have a plan. I take my hands off the wheel. We're going to be bumper carred right off the highway. Our next ride is going to be in an ambulance. You have to point yourself where you want to go because the default position is you are in a sea of other people's intentions, and you're going to do what mommy and daddy want you to do when you grow up. You're going to do what other people in the field want you to do, or you're just going to be on random access. But if you point yourself where you want to go and do this, you're going to cut through this stuff. You're going to get there on the diagonal. You're going to meet it. It's going to meet you halfway or come right to you. It will look miraculous. And then you go to my website, manifesting123.com, and you send me your story so we can tell the world. And I'm the crazy guy on the radio with too many stories and not enough time. But you go into that manifesting123.com, and you will see stories. Get on the newsletter. I send out stories from readers twice a week, and these people aren't nuts, but they get spectacular results. And I'm just going to say you might be a little wacky if you don't try this.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say because it works. People say they've never heard it so simple. It just works. That's all I can do.
It works. That's marvelous. All right. Well, then I'm going to envision that you have some wonderful filmmaker stories. Within the next 2 months, you'll have some great stories from filmmakers on how they used your information to gain money for their film or produce their film, one of the two.
I can't wait.
Right.
I can't wait. Small or large, there's no difference. What's the difference between a big miracle and a little one?
I don't know. Tell me.
Nothing,
right? Oh, just a wonderful interview. Thank you. Thank you for the information. We have learned a tremendous amount.
Oh, I must jump in with one thing because of your group here. This is very important. There is a thing called the equivalent of money. It's not always the money. It's the equivalent of money. You can't afford the studio. Somebody just gives you the studio rent-free. You can't afford the film stock. Somebody's got overloaded film stock. You get it for free. It's the equivalent of money. Don't always think you have to punch in and punch out to get a result.
Great. Accept gifts. Know that there's more than money. There's gifts. There's donations. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Important.
There's magic.
There's
You're
magic.
Welcome.
Oh, we had a wonderful time with you. Thank you. And best of luck to you with your art and all your new things that you're planning for your future.
Thank you. I love luck, but I'm making a lot more breaks than I used to.
That's good. All right. Thanks.
Thank you both so much.
Okay.
I'm so grateful for you both. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Ken. Ken, just one more time, please give your website one more time. We also want our listeners to know that you are on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Okay. Yeah, you can access all of that from manifesting123.com. That's the manifesting side, and the Twitter and the Facebook and the newsletter. And I'm a professional artist, the real deal, show coast to coast. It's Ken Elliott, two L's, two T's, kenelliott.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you,
Carol.
Okay. Bye.
Let's
have a wonderful day, everyone.
Okay. Thanks, Ken.
Bye-bye.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.